Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA with an amazing offer for new customers. You bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and you win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's quarter number one of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, it's the midway point. It's also a bye week. Happy bye week to you. How'd you spend the weekend with no Penn State football?
Doing things with my wife. So, like, her birthday is coming up at the end of the month, so we celebrated her birthday on Saturday. So we just did a bunch of whatever she wanted to do for the day, which normally when you're working 36 hours from Saturday through Sunday, I don't really even get a chance to look her in the face very often on the weekend. So stark contrast for what we normally do.
There you go, T. Frank. You're a good husband. Well, since it is bye week, it is the midway point of the season, I figured this would be a great time to take a step back, take a look at how things are going in the Penn State football world. Let's start by looking at the first half of the season. 5-1, I think most fans would be happy with that, especially going into the season with teams like Wisconsin, Iowa, Auburn on the first half of the schedule. But it wasn't a perfect first half for Penn State, and I want to start being the glass half empty kind of guy that I am. Let's start with your favorite topic, T. Frank. Let's start with the running game.
Okay.
Going into the season, I think most fans had the idea that, well, that's the one area we would count on. We're five deep at running back.
Yeah.
We'll be able to establish a running game. That just did not happen.
Yeah.
How come? What happened?
So I think it just underlines the point that running backs are not a driving force of their own production for the most part. Now, some are outliers, and some are players that you can actually change the game with. But with those guys, you know their names, and usually you just know either their first or last name, and that's what they go by. They're that famous. Outside of that, it takes the offensive line, the scheme, the play calling, and the quarterback to set everything up right so that you have a chance as a running back. And right now, parts and pieces of that, including the running backs themselves, aren't really working. So when your offensive line, and I've talked about this before, when you've got a miss, you got kind of a hodgepodge of what players do well up front. The interior of the line, so far, they're, and it goes back to their personnel. They're smaller, quicker guys. They're playing better in more zone schemes, and the tackles that are bigger, more physical players are playing, they're not playing well in either scheme, truthfully, in the run game, but they are more designed and they are bigger and stronger guys that would play better in a man and gap scheme, which they did last year. So you've got a bit of a mismatch there. Noah Kane is hurt and is not healthy at all. We've talked about that on multiple levels. On a long-term level, he's not back to the player he was, and he's been hurt for the first half of the season outside of the first three games. John Lovett's been in and out of the team as far as, you know, I don't know what happened for the first couple weeks, but he wasn't there, and then he came back, and then he was hurt. So you're left with Kevon Lee, who is a redshirt freshman tailback, and as good as he looked last year, you're seeing the youth right now as far as making mistakes, trying too hard, not seeing the hole. When you do see the hole, not hitting the hole. So there's just it. James Franklin always says it's not one thing, it's all of it. And it's a summation that nobody likes. But if I were to go into the intricate details, which we have on the show, it takes up the majority of either the first quarter or the first and the second quarter. So it's a lot of moving pieces, literally and figuratively.
Do you see it getting any better?
Marginally, but no. So this is the thing is they're not going to get new players. And the players that we talked about, it's for the most part, I think it's a personnel issue as far as talents not matching up with schemes completely. And I guess what I would hope for, if I'm a Penn State football fan, is Rashid Walker comes out of his funk and starts playing like the guy he can play like and how he was starting to play last year. And hope that Caden Wallace plays a little bit better as well. That he, on the backside of those runs, especially in zone, he's able to get a little more production. And I guess hope the tackles play a little bit better. I don't think you're going to be seeing any dramatic improvements from the run game. Now, if they simplify it, and this is something I've talked about, but I don't think they're going to do this because this leads to more problems. If you're in a situation where you're trying to fix problems in football, typically you're creating new ones. And if you try to simplify the run game, go with only one or two schemes, then you become predictable. And then you've got to be better than the other team because they know what you're going to do. And ask Iowa how well that works. So, you know, I think that marginal improvement is a hope, but I wouldn't expect them to be dramatically better this season when it comes to the run game.
On the flip side, the passing game has done very well. Sean Clifford, everyone's favorite whipping boy a year ago, all of a sudden is a much better quarterback this season. We know there's Jahan Dotson, Parker Washington. The receivers have been good. What changed in Sean Clifford? Why is he a better quarterback this year than he was a year ago?
He knows the offense. He's been able to practice with his teammates and throw footballs to them. And, you know, not to be too simplistic about it, but he didn't get to practice with his team last year. And as the quarterback is sometimes the canary in the coal mine of dysfunction, where every single thing that can go wrong is blamed on the quarterback when it reaches that sort of point. The offensive line couldn't pass block. He couldn't read the defense because he wasn't sure of his responsibilities to begin with, because he had never installed his offense with Kirk Ciarrocca. This year, he's got a leader in Mike Yurcich, who is, I think, a little more exacting, a little more demanding from everything we've heard. A little more forceful in communication. I thought Kirk Ciarrocca was a good communicator. I don't think he's a bad offensive coordinator, but his style of communication clearly was not what Sean Clifford needed. This duo works better together, and they're getting results because Sean Clifford knows what's expected of him, and he's doing it. So he's not playing hero ball. He is finding the open receivers, and when he can't find the open receivers, he's, for the most part, making good decisions with the football. So, you know, all of those things come together. This is something I said back in the spring when I left my previous job. I just started playing around with my own YouTube channel. And one of my most successful videos was, is Sean Clifford good? And I didn't have an answer at the end of last season because there are so many things that when the situation was right, even last year, he was doing well. So the situation is just right more often this year.
Let's go to the other side of the ball. Let's talk defense. Also greatly improved over a year ago. Maybe the best defense James Franklin has had since he's been here. What changed on the defense? Why is it so much better? You have the same coordinator. It's not like, oh, new coordinator came in, so that was the big change. So what is different about this defense?
Big picture, sort of the same things, the offense of players knowing what they're supposed to be doing and then doing those things. I would say the biggest change, there's a couple of small things that I think play into this. PJ Mustafer's play through the first half of the season has been a huge part of that. And his ability to play at a high level in terms of schematic and strategic performance, his ability to play more complex schemes and do things that are a little harder for a lot of defensive tackles to do, and he's doing it at 320 some pounds and quick. So he was a huge part of Penn State's ability to stop the run and then allocate resources other places, which is what they want to do anyway. I would say the other thing too is a lack of missed tackles. They haven't been missing as many tackles this year, and guys have been in the proper gaps. So those things, plus PJ Mustafer, again, playing in a better position, playing in a better weight, playing, I think, in a more natural place, that was a huge part of the first half of the season. And then you had a guy like Derek Tangelo come in next to him that is, I think people don't really realize this. They looked at maybe some of the pass rushing metrics for Derek Tangelo. He was Duke's best run defender last season. He was there at the three technique for Penn State in the first half of the season. So you had two really good run stuffers, you know, and at least at that point, Penn State was stout up the middle, and you could do more things because you could count on that. And then, you know, on the backside, Joey Porter Jr. taking a bigger step forward. Again, Jaquan Brisker playing in a more natural position where he was supposed to last year. And Jair Brown, Dig Brown, knowing the defense, being able to practice with his teammates in the offseason. And he's been playing much better this season because, again, he knows what is expected of him. He knows what zones to be in and how the defense functions. So all those things produced a much better result in 2021. I'd say the biggest, most noticeable things, though, are the missed tackles. Those being gone make this zone defense function.
It sure does. That, to me, also is... There was nothing more frustrating last year than those missed tackles. 5-yard gains turned into 20-yard gains for your opponent.
And just think about this. Just think about this. Another one of those finding a better situation for a guy. Jesse Lucchetta, when he got to the ball carrier, he was great. But it was in space where he was struggling to get to the ball carrier. Now that he's on the line of scrimmage, he gets the ball carrier all the time, and he doesn't miss. That's a huge thing. Is like, just moving guys around. I feel like they found a good plan for everybody because the situation and the pieces fit so much better this year.
I brought this up on another show, T. Frank, but it seems like every decision they made on defense during the offseason turned out well. Bringing in Ibukiti, Tangelo as transfers. They're both starting, playing well. Moving Lakeda to defensive end. The swapping of positions at linebacker. Every call they made seemed to be a good one on defense.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, so it's not like they don't know these things. You know, the way James Franklin had talked about Lucchetta and had the way he had Brent Pry talked about him, I don't know if this is some after the process sort of thing, but even before we saw the results of Lucchetta going to defensive end, they said, we've viewed him this way a long time, and they had to convince him to play defensive end. He wanted to be a linebacker. So it's not like they didn't have these things in mind, and the personnel that you have dictates what you have to do. Mustafa playing where he did last year is because they didn't have a three technique that stepped in that role. They had to rely on Hakeem Beamon as a young guy at times, but they needed somebody there. Now they've got the pieces that fit better because the personnel fits better.
Very good, T. Frank. All right, we spent first quarter looking back on how things went the first half of the season. Quarter two, let's look forward to the second half. Stick around for that.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, has an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.